Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. With host and founder Richard Case and co-host and retreat leader Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is End Times Friday. Actually, this is at the very end of May now. This will be airing
May. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, May 24th. So we're continuing the series. We've had the last couple times we had Denny on to tell us what's going on with Israel, and lots going on. And interesting, you know, you think of, and this is always interesting to me, you know, we've known about the war, what Hamas did back in October, attacking, you know, a major attack on Israel, killing a lot of people, taking hostages, coming across the border into, you know, Israel-occupied area. And typically prior to that, you remember, and you think of the three basic factions that comes against Israel. You got the South, that's Gaza and Hamas. And by the way, further south is Egypt, which is pro-Israel.
Right.
And by the way, Israel will not take the they will not take the refugees.
Oh, Egypt. Egypt.
Excuse me.
Take, yeah.
Egypt. Egypt won't take the refugees from Gaza because they don't want them in their country. So on the north side is Hezbollah. And then on the east of there would be Iran, that, and they're all trying to eliminate Israel. So they have the war. We know, you know, what they did. Israel has basically come after them, and you know, even we talked last time about Rafah with Denny, that they're actually operating now in Rafah, trying to get to eliminate the leadership there of Hamas. And the America is trying to maybe not ship them ammunition to be able to.
They've put a pause on that, right?
As to say, you know, we don't want you doing that. I don't think it's going to stop, you know, Israel from what they're doing because they're bent on eliminating. But so that became, you know, an event, and it's there and it's happening. And it's interesting to me that as a result of that, there is now around the world, there are very dynamic protests going on of either pro-Hamas or pro-Israel. And it's getting very, very strong and can be violent, can be very active, taking over universities particularly. The one thing that they've discovered, and they actually did this out in California at UCLA, they kind of knew that it really wasn't students doing this. It was outside forces who were being funded to come and do this. And so what they did is they went and they arrested them and captured people, and then they took their mask off and made him be in front of the camera. And they recognize, wait a minute, these guys aren't students. Yeah, because it's a planned chaos.
But and well, and students are engaging too, but it's being instigated in a lot of times and certainly fueled. I think a lot of the students come in more with the, you know, peaceful protest idea, and then instigators come in and fuel the fire.
And but it's interesting that it's about Israel, you know, and that it's developing a strong kind of a demarcation of pro-Israel or against Israel, and then causing the chaos of it, because God is keep reminding us that as we approach the end, it's all about Israel.
Right. It's interesting. I even read a news article the other day that made me think of you in our conversations. And the phraseology in the article was, you can see the whole world coming against Israel.
Yeah.
And this was like a CNN article or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's what's going to happen as we do it. And so that's, you know, that's going on. And, you know, the world's getting crazier and crazier. Economically, the Fed has just come out and said we're not going to lower rates this year because of inflation, et cetera. But there's lots of signs that the economy is slowing. Normally, by the way, if there's a slow economy, particularly one that they can foresee, the Fed would start lowering rates normally to try to even it out and get people back, you know, working with lower loans and debts and stuff. But they're not going to. So the impact of the recession that is, there's signs that it's happening right now with unemployment, with inflation, with the housing market, the office market, commercial office market, lots of things happening that, you know, give a slowdown approach. And but the Fed looks like they're not going to step in and the interest rates are going to remain high, which means that the recession could go deeper than people think. And so it's really a matter of keep looking at understanding, you know, what is going on and the impact it's going to have on your particular business and demand and the ability for people to buy things and do a variety of things. So it'll be really interesting. So as we look at this, you know, we are trying to understand, well, what does the scripture say about what is going to happen and how do we respond to that? And Paul tells us, you know, some important things about this is in 2 Timothy 3, 1-9.
Sure. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of the gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was.
Yeah. So Paul says, in the last days, as you read that, what kind of struck you about that? What was your thought about how he describes that?
Oh, it absolutely describes today. Yet at the same time, we do see it's a timeless description. You know, they saw a lot of that in their culture as well. We've seen it periodically throughout scripture increasing, but we're seeing more and more and more intense and more intense. But the description is very accurate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at, you know, the essence of what he says here is that the level of selfishness and pride is going to get stronger. He says it's going to result in disobedience, haughtiness, the aspect of despisers of good, traitors, slanderers. So when you think about that, and this is what we kind of discussed with this rioting going on, is that there's division. And it's pushing in essence, I don't care attitude is I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And even if it hurts other people and there's no willingness to sit down and talk through it,
right?
I'm going to wind up in a place of division because now I've got opposition to what I'm doing. And there's a fighting going on. So when you think of all these riots going on, It's a division and even, and they've had some, you know, some, even some of the news people have gone out and talked to people, you know, what are you fighting for?
Right.
And the answer, they don't know. it's like, well, I think Israel's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Do you understand what happened? You know, what? Well, Hamas is the one that stimulated the war. Yeah, but Israel was doing that before that. Well, mm-hmm. not really. Or they would say that, no, they didn't. The Hamas didn't really kill anybody.
Mm.
Not true.
Right.
So it's division because haughtiness is characteristic of the time. And then he Paul says that's happening worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, interesting enough, it's also creeping into the church. So read verse 5 again.
Sure. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away.
Yeah. So he said that this will include Christians who have a form of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
And think of, he said there'll be a form of godliness, but no power. So what would a form of godliness look like?
Well, good things, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that so it'd be,
I'm going to church. Mm-hmm. You know, I might even do devotions. I say everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Life is good. I believe in God. So it looks like a form of godliness means you look like you're following God.
Yeah, kind of checking the religious boxes, yeah. Maybe.
And everybody would say, "Oh yeah, you're doing fine," but he says this selfishness has crept in, and you have a form of godliness, but you're denying, rejecting what God would have to say about this, the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to wind up with your own sense of pride of what I think is right and wrong, and then trying to impact that on other people. And he says, you know, that you got to be careful here. And he says another aspect of it is verse 7. You know, what does he say in verse 7?
Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Okay, so
that's a good one.
learning, and remember, he's implying that you're learning things biblically.
Mm-hmm.
You're studying, but you never come to know the truth.
Right.
Okay, so what would be critical if we are going to pursue the truth? What would be critical?
Spending time with God, dialoguing with Him on it.
Yeah.
You know, listening to Him, letting Him speak, asking Him questions. What we really talk about all the time, abiding.
Yeah.
Versus this picture is what John Mark Comer deems the Christian who becomes a brain on a stick. You know, not just becoming a head full of knowledge, but taking that knowledge and allowing God to apply it in your heart and it flowing through your life and you experiencing it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that our heart is to have a heart for truth, but truth isn't intellectual truth, because he mm-hmm. says there's two levels here. One, you actually never learn the truth because you don't really spend the time, you know, receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
So that as God speaks about life, are we learning what the Word has to say and processing that Word,
mm-hmm.
or have people effectively what I call negated the truth?
Right.
Because they just logic it away. And is that, mm-hmm. you know, well, yeah, Paul talked about, you know, homosexuality, but that was back then. And mm-hmm. It doesn't apply now. And so you're rejecting even pursuing, well, what does the Word have to say about that?
Right.
And then how do we understand it? And by the way,
most of the time rejecting it because it's not what we want to hear too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, it's all truth, you know, so that mm-hmm. He makes a pretty strong statement about that. But we say, okay, I receive that. I understand that. And then the next question that we'd have to ask God is, well, how would you have me understand that toward people around me? And he said, well, one, I don't want you to judge people.
Right.
That's not your right. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to have discernment and it's an abomination to you. And he said, yeah, it is. But I would like to show you how to live life, given that that's true, of how to interact with them without you judging them or you laying on rules to them. But I also want you to receive the truth about that and not and not accept that truth as okay. It's tricky.
It is tricky, yes.
But if we have a heart for truth, it means we're getting the power of that truth because God's given us the wisdom of that truth, and we're processing what does that look like because I have a heart for truth. And then he says, you'll understand others that appear godly, but they have no desire for truth at all. And he said it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger in the church, so that as we prepare, think about it, if we're preparing, and the end means it's going to get worse and worse and worse. By the way, there'll be the ultimate deception. And think about what we've talked about during the tribulation. It starts with an economic collapse, and then the one world government provides a solution. And if you're not of the truth, actually people will say God provided us an answer. But it's not from God, it's from the Antichrist, it's from from Satan.
And so you need to have that discernment, be in the word, know what he says, so that you can navigate this, right?
Yeah. And then what happens is that as the Antichrist then steps into power during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, a false prophet joins him. And the false prophet is apparently looks like a Christian who says, this is truly the way that we're supposed to follow. Is this what's happening here? This is godly. And ultimately the Antichrist comes in and says, I am God. And the people of the world believe it, including believers. Why? Well, because there wasn't a base of truth. There wasn't a heart for truth. You know, so as we prepare for this, he says, you need to gather with people who have a heart for truth and look at a couple things. Does it look like they're godly, but there's never any experience of my supernatural work? There's no power there. He said, you can notice that. And you'll see the difference. And then secondly is that they say they're studying, they say they're learning, they're going to church, listening to sermons, etc., but they never process the truth as you invite them to that truth to understand it. You know, and there's one, you know, right now there's kind of a simple way about it would be, you know, people do care about and think about, okay, if the tribulation is coming, there's going to be a rapture. And as far as I know, we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. It's called pre-trib rapture. So a lot of people make that statement. First of all, how do you know that? And there's one indicator right there. And almost universally, what they don't say, I've studied this in the Word. Well, my church said so. Or a book said so. I said, wait a minute. So you haven't spent time in the Word yourself? No. Okay, well, you're learning, but you're never coming to know the truth. Why? Because you're not pursuing the truth. Okay, and then secondly is I would say this. Okay. I understand that. And by the way, that's a possibility. And I hope actually it's true. But are you so sure that that's the only way that the Bible describes?
Right. Because there's so much evidence for all three cases, right?
Well, maybe not. Okay. Well, would you be willing to just go to the Word? Now, I'm not trying to tell you what position to take at all. But I'm saying that the Word says there isn't maybe just one way that's absolute. Would you be willing to see what the Word has to say? That is the moment that you learn. Am I ever, am I seeing, are they learning and never getting to the truth? Or do I have a heart to go to the truth? Because mm-hmm. the word stands on its own.
Right.
And if I have a heart for truth, what am I going to do?
You're going to pursue.
Yeah.
You're going to seek and spend time in it and ask the questions and dialogue and really work through it.
Yeah.
Right?
I have a heart to go to the word, and I'm open to God speaking to me truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, as a follower of Christ, see, my position is, well, why would you not see
mm-hmm.
that? Since we're humans and can't possibly ourselves determine the truth, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. It's based upon processing his word, which is true. And all we have to do is walk with him, because he said, I'll lead you into the truth.
Yeah. One of the like practical things I like to tell people as they're really learning to do this also is starting their time in the word with a prayer of surrender.
Yeah.
Because I think so often it's easy for us to go in, like we do with anything, go in and looking with our own eyes and our own filter and wanting to see, you'll see what you look for sometimes, right? and wanting to see my point of view supported. And so that's all I see, rather than saying, no, God, I'm surrendering. I want to see the fullness of what you're speaking. Get me out of the way and show me what it is you truly have to say. And for me, I still do that a lot of times before I sit in the word, is just get me out of the way, God, and make sure I'm hearing what you want to speak. And I'm not hearing it through a filter. I'm not looking for what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I'm hearing what you're actually saying.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great starting point. If somebody's listening and they're sitting there going, oh, maybe I'm kind of that, brain on a stick person.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And by the way, one Psalm, to go read and then pray, is Psalm 143, verses 8 to 12. But it says, cause me, you're praying to God and you're saying, yes, cause me to hear your voice as you deliver the covenant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause me to know the truth and the way to walk.
Yes.
Deliver me from the enemy so that I don't get distracted or deceived. Teach me your will, for your will is good, and your Holy Spirit is going to get me to the good place. I would like to learn that, and restore my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great, like you're saying, it's a great, as you're in the Word of God and being led by the Word of God and led by the Holy Spirit, is cause me to not determine my own path.
Yes.
But to follow you into the Word and pursue the truth and be open to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't want to be characterized. And this is why we're saying this today is check your heart and check where you are. Is what you don't want to be characterized is you look like you think you're godly,
mm-hmm.
but you're never experiencing the life of God.
Right.
Or you're ever learning, but you're never learning truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so process the truth, keep seeking that. And the, one of the most important things as we approach the this what's going on in the world is that we need people around us
mm-hmm.
That are going to assist our pursuit of truth.
Right.
And we're going to talk more and more and more about this aspect of truth and what the impact of that as we approach what's going on in the world. We got things going on with Israel. We got things going on with our economy. We got the big election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of things are happening, and we need to understand the truth of that. And what does God say to us about that, about preparing, understanding? Because he said circumstances don't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
He can get even when we go to the tribulation, and if we realize we're not supposed to take the mark of the beast and join the system, well, then God's got to provide it for us.
Right.
And we're going to have to.
And he's perfectly capable of it.
Is that, I can do that if we have a heart to go, but we got to learn mm-hmm. it and mm-hmm. trust it so that we don't get deceived. So,
right.
Father, we do thank you for what Paul states here is at perilous times. And at the peril means danger. Dangerous because it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to be deceived. It's easy to move into a self-centered position and deciding on our own what we think we should do and wind up in division. And so we just pray that we won't go that direction, but we'll go to humility. surrender of our will to you, to experience your power and to be learning the truth and pursuing the truth and receiving that so that we can understand your path for how you would have us look at the things coming up. And we thank you and praise you that we do have that privilege, and may we be faithful to that privilege. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.